Thursday mornings on Dave and Darren in the Morning, we get a chance to speak with the movie critic and an editor at the River Cities Reader. Longtime friend of the show, Mike Schultz, joins us here on Thursday mornings. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you, gentlemen. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Good to be seen.
You saw a lot more movies than I thought you were going to see.
Yeah, I caught a few things. I was happy about that. I mean, I liked them all to varying degrees, so that was good.
Well, that's okay.
That's something.
Well, it's a little disappointing for those of us that love it when you hate something.
Yeah, agreed. It won't take long, probably after this weekend. We'll talk.
We'll get into that, but first, yeah, let's talk about what you have seen in the movie theaters. The number one movie right now is this Civil War movie.
Civil War, indeed. Yeah, it's. I thought it was awfully good, but it's a rough, unpleasant watch. It's not much fun at all, because it does. It's an American Civil War movie, but kind of speculative fiction because it imagines a world in which Texas and California have joined forces as the Western forces.
Oh, they've joined forces.
They are teammates in this little, yes. They are against a president and his administration. The president, played by Nick Offerman, has appointed himself a third term and has abolished the FBI and has ordered military strikes on American citizens. And they're like, nope. Nope, nope, we're toppling you. And so you got California and Texas and their armories, and then you've got this group called the Florida Alliance, which is basically Florida and all of the southern states, including like Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia. They're all part of a faction. Then you have the Loyalists, which includes Iowa and Illinois. We're standing behind the president or just pretending it's not happening is what we hear more often than not. And then there's a big coalition off in the northwest of Washington and Montana that have problems of their own that we don't really get into, which was disappointing. Anyway, it's about what would happen. They don't give you any backstory, really, on what we're against, except for the obvious signifiers. It's like, oh, the president sounds like a bit of a jerk, you know. But we don't know if we're supposed to root for the people who want him dead. We don't know if we're supposed to root for the president for America to stay together. Instead, it's just about the process. It's saying there's civil war in America. Here's what it might look like. And that's it. And we follow four journalists as they try to get from New York City to Washington, D.C. to interview, theoretically, to interview the president. And we kind of stop in one little town after another and see what in this particular town
brewing.
Is happening, how people are dealing with it. And so some, of course, are armed to the teeth, and some are like, it's Mayberry all over again, where it's like, no, it's just quiet, small-town America, nothing wrong here. Uh-huh. And fascinating, really well-acted, beautifully directed. You're just not going to get information, if that's what you're looking for.
I see.
Yeah.
Texas and California do not share a border. How do they get around that? Do they explain that?
No, they don't explain anything. I'm serious. Nothing.
A friend of mine was really bothered by the lack of detail and information.
Sure, I get that, and I totally get that.
You're saying it worked for you.
It did. And again, they're called the Western Forces, but I don't remember Texas being in the West that recently either. You know, I mean, it has... You could call them holes if it was something that we should have known and were deprived the opportunity. I'm arguing that we don't need to know. Because it's not what the movie is interested in. It's about, this is happening, here's how journalists would cover it, here's how people would respond to journalists covering it, and that's the point. And it really is a love letter, like crazy, to journalists, who are, of course, the enemy of the people these days. And it's a bit of a corrective on that, saying, you may not like them, but you need them, you know, regardless. There's a reason that they are who they are, and they tell us that they're not the bad guys. They're just the messengers, you know? So I thought it was great. And Jesse Plemons has the scariest scene of the year. And Kirsten Dunst is amazing. Kaylee Spaney, who played Priscilla Presley last fall, is awfully good in it. It was terrific. Really,
Jude. You also saw a movie called Arcadian.
Yeah, Arcadian.
What in the world is Arcadian?
Arcadian is like The Quiet Place, except the crazy beasts can see you and hear you. And it's
great.
Right? Just got twice as bad.
But they can't smell you.
They can't smell.
Is that what the gimmick is?
Nah, that's it. There's no gimmick. It's Nicolas Cage, and he and his twin boys are like in a farmhouse, and they have to stay safe from all these marauding creatures. It's nothing you haven't seen before. It's not terribly interesting or terribly well done.
Did they ever provide him with a poster?
No, that would have been nice. That would have been helpful, at least.
Still no poster?
Still no poster. But the monsters in this thing are killer. There's, I mean, literally killer. They're great and weird. They're kind of like, they're kind of like dragons that meet Audrey 2 from Little Shop, that meet one of those novelty toys of the chattering teeth that goes, nah, 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 nah. It's like something I've never seen before. They were super fun. They're not around as quite as often as I wanted, but it made the movie more interesting.
Is this movie still available?
Oh, no.
Okay.
this is gone. They were showing it, I think, twice a day in Davenport, and that was your first sign it wasn't going to stick around.
But it'll probably be streaming soon if it's out of the theater that quick. Yeah.
I saw it in Chicagoland with a friend. We had nothing to do on a Friday night. It was like, all right, let's go see Nicolas Cage get attacked by beasts.
You also saw another Andrew Scott movie.
God, he won't stop.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Not even a movie so much as just a filmed version of his play that was in the West End, Vanya, which is a one-man rendition of Chekhov's play Uncle Vanya, where he plays 8 different characters. It's about 1 hour and 40 minutes, no intermission, and it is stunning. That's in my top 5 favorite plays ever written. And
so you liked the play before you even saw this?
I did, very much. I love the play. But I was curious, I mean, because you're doing a one man of anything that has more than 5 people. It's like, how is that going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully is the answer to that. And it's Andrew Scott, who can do literally anything. So he plays 3 women, 5 men, all with mildly different accents and physicalities. And it is like, it's like nothing you've ever seen before. It's we do lose a lot in not having other actors around. But as far as a performance piece, it was about as much fun as I've had all year at anything. Coming right after Ripley, which is the most fun I've had at anything all year.
Wow.
So yes, Andrew Scott, bless your heart, man. Wherever you are, you rock.
And then finally you saw Hundreds of Beavers.
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did. I made it. I made it back in time, in town, in time to see that Sunday night. Yeah,
I watched the trailer at your suggestion.
And it upset him.
Oh.
About a minute in, I thought, it can't really be the movie. it's not this for the whole time.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's just a silent movie of a guy trying to kill guys in beaver costumes.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
With, like, Warner Brothers slapstick.
Yes, it's all very Looney Tunes.
Uh-huh.
Over an hour and 45.
I thought the trailer was too long, Mike. How did you do with this?
I don't disagree. I thought it was a half hour too long easily. But what makes it work is that it is filled with Looney Tunes-esque running gags, like the duck season, rabbit season, where they keep blowing off Daffy's face over and over. And like many of those classic Looney Tunes short, the bits actually do get funnier with repetition. So by the first couple times you see this one gag involving a guy trying to spit into a spittoon, he can never get it in the spittoon, ever. And the first couple times I was like, okay, that's cute. By the 8th time, I was like rolling on the floor. I was like, because of the incredibly inspired, contrived way they get for it not to land in the spittoon this time. It was like, it's filled with really inventive gags.
I mean, the Looney Tunes shorts, they used to show them before movies. They're famously 6 or 8 minutes long.
Yeah, I don't know. I agree. I don't
An
know
hour
how
45.
I don't know
seems
how
like,
they pulled this off.
Yeah.
I really don't. It's
so you kind of liked
funny.
It or you really liked it?
I kind of really liked it. Okay. We're going to go
kind
with that.
Really
We're
going to
go
okay.
with that. I'm not sure I'll ever watch it again. It's not like repeat comedy viewing for me, at least. But
were people howling?
No. I saw it with, I think, 5 other people on Sunday night. That sounds about right. Nobody left, at least. I don't recall ever hearing anyone laugh, to be honest. I laughed out loud maybe a half dozen times, but most of the time I was just smiling, going, well done. Well, cleverly done.
Was at the Last Picture House.
Indeed, yes.
So if you want to see a black and white cartoon, looks like it's playing tonight at 9:30.
It is, and then it's opening at Film Scene in Iowa City as of tomorrow, so it'll be around for a little while. And the Vanya, the Andrew Scott, if anyone listening is interested, was going to be a one-time-only deal, but that place was packed when I saw it on Sunday afternoon, and so they are doing another screening this Saturday as well. So you get a chance to still see that.
This Saturday is going to be 4:20,
mm-hmm.
And I'd like to point out that the Last Picture House will be showing Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke
and
Dazed and Confused.
There's another one, too, right?
Is
there a third one?
Is there? Lost in Translation?
Yeah, that's not really a 420 movie.
No.
Not so much.
No.
No, but the other two, most definitely. Did you also know that the Bob Marley movie is reopening in Davenport?
Oh, really?
For the weekend.
Okay.
Isn't that convenient?
I guess that makes sense.
It does make sense. I got it.
What else are we sending you to see? The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah, that's happening.
From the director of Sherlock Holmes and the producer of Top Gun Maverick. That's all it says here.
Oh, seriously? There's more to it than that.
A film by Guy Ritchie. That's all I have.
Okay.
So the premise of this is it's World War II,
yes,
and we're English, and we're going to fight dirty.
Yeah.
Even though it's not the way we normally do things.
There were recently declassified files from that period where they showed that we had black ops in England before we had black ops here, and one of the people who put the project together was Ian Fleming from James Bond and fame. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
it does have Henry Cavill in it, which doesn't make me smile.
You know, this Henry Cavill, can I have this discussion with you?
Yeah, of course.
He seems to me like a super likable guy,
probably.
And in trailers, I always think this looks like, maybe this will be the movie that we all fall in love with this
cat. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it just never happens.
It never happens. I would say the closest we got was a Guy Ritchie movie, though, was The Man from U.N.C.L.E. You remember that? It came and
went. Yeah,
yeah. But not bad. I mean, actually,
what's
pretty entertaining.
What's the Mission Impossible where he punches Tom Cruise in the toilet? You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
He's
that was the
good
one
in
before
that.
This last one.
Yeah,
he's not without skill, but you're right. He is so dull. It might not even be his
punch
fault.
Punch him in the toilet. Do you mean that, or is that jargon?
No, they're in the bathroom.
That's a literal statement.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know what it is with him. He's just so Man of Steel, but without any, you know, any humor or personality or charisma. I'm just not a fan. Yeah.
Also playing at the, there's new, what's this new Zendaya movie?
Next week we get that.
That's next
Challengers.
Week.
Yeah.
All right.
We do get Abigail, the one about the vampire ballerina. You seen the previews for that?
Abigail, a group of would-be criminals, kidnaps the 12-year-old daughter of a powerful underworld figure. Holding her for ransom in an isolated mansion, their plan starts to unravel when they discover that their young captive is actually a bloodthirsty vampire.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of a great.
It's kind of great. Yeah, the trailer's not bad at all. And it's
how
got,
good
it's
would
got
you
gene-
be if you were a vampire ballerina?
Yeah, you've got
some moves.
And you're
12 forever.
You got some moves.
You just always have a 12-year-old body,
mm-hmm,
but you can train it for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's, I think, the idea behind this.
Oh, wow.
I'm looking forward to it. It's got Giancarlo Esposito. We like him, so yeah.
Yeah, oh boy. This looks like it could be great. It's rated R.
Yes, it is.
Horror thriller movie.
Yeah.
All right. There's also something opening up at the Last Picture House this weekend called The People's Joker.
Yeah, I don't know much about this.
A law-breaking comedian who is grappling with her gender identity forms a new anti-comedy troupe with a friend and finds herself battling a fantastic caped crusader.
Okay.
The People's Joker.
That's about all I knew about it beforehand.
All
okay.
Right. Well, glad I could help.
Might give that a shot. And we're getting Sasquatch Sunset as well. The one about the Bigfoots.
Okay. I wasn't sure if this was one that you'd seen already.
Nah, it's opening tomorrow.
Sasquatch Sunset is rated R. In the misty forests of North America, a family of... I can't read this. Is this a thing, really?
This is a thing. Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Jesse Eisenberg and Riley Keough star in the misty forests of North America, a family of Sasquatches find themselves on a collision course
with wackiness.
Please. Wow. How are you using collision course and not ending
and
with
not
a
ending
wackiness?
A wackiness.
It's a comedy, a rated R comedy. They find themselves on a collision course with the ever-changing world around them. Okay, this I might have to see.
Yeah, it sounds like the Beavers movie, but with better effects and
Sasquatch
Beavers.
Move over, Beavers.
Sasquatch Sunset.
The makeup looks crazy good.
I have not heard anything about this.
Okay,
no.
There's another trailer you should watch. Yeah, it's kind of fun. I love Riley Keough. I think she's amazing and very rich.
Okay.
She never has to work again.
It's true. So she can pick good projects.
Yeah, exactly.
She
can do whatever she wants, which is great.
Grandpa Elvis's money, you don't have to
You're doing good.
Take any gig that they offer you.
Exactly right. good for her.
Mike Schultz is a movie critic. He's an editor at the River Cities Reader. You can read his reviews online at rcreader.com and in the pages of the River Cities Reader. Mike, thanks for joining us.
A pleasure. Thanks, guys.